This being a Friday is the 11:05 panel, and we said we'd do one with a difference, really, and that is to do with technology and technology as encountered by people who are like the rest of it, like everybody, getting older. You're all very welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Declan.
Thanks.
How are we all doing?
Very well.
Good.
Good. Not a bother.
I better introduce
vertical
you all.
Vertical versus horizontal.
Oh, hang on.
This rowdy lot to be kept in check is May Quaid from the Older Persons Council and a resident of Balton Glass, originally from Leeson Street, I believe, in Dublin.
Oh, that's posh.
Walking down Appian Way.
Tina Kumarianis is Agony Aunt and Rathdrum resident. And where would she? Well, I guess her. Now, you could guess the Greek surname, but maybe I think some UK residency at one stage.
I was born in the UK, but came here at 2 weeks old.
Oh, well, there you are.
I've only just received my Irish citizenship. It took 4 years to get.
Really?
4 years.
It costs a few quid as well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So now I'm hoping for my passport next week and then I'll be flying.
But what about the Greek connection? Could you not just automatically EU it in, you know?
Well, I could have a Greek passport. I could have, triple citizenship, I suppose. I could get a Greek passport as well. But back in the day, the reason for the British passport was my father was a captain on oil tankers and you could travel anywhere in the world on a British passport without getting visas.
Because they owned most of it.
Yeah, they owned most of the world. Quite right.
Right, okay. And also Ken Doyle from Bagatelle. And God, it's so, it's not as adventurous as the rest. Is it Bray, Ken?
I'm lowering the tone of the neighbourhood, you know.
Yeah, you're all very welcome. Today we're going to be talking about technology and older people in County Wicklow generally and how that technology is encountered. And our hand-picked panel will give us their views. So let's start off about technology itself. I mean, technology's been there from the time that my parents didn't know how to work the remote control on the television because you had to get up off your seat and turn the television on. That's now, obviously, everybody pretty learned, but it was just that was considered very new at the time. May, what about technology and you? How do you find it, encounter it as it progresses?
Yeah. Personally, Declan, I find it very difficult at first, but I've had to learn to live with it because if you don't, you're at nothing. You just have to keep going. I dread going into the bank because I'm faced with all these machines. So I go in and I usually say, help. And someone always helps me, you see, if you do that. But in saying that now, I'd be very good now with my mobile phone and I've got onto online banking and that kind of thing. But not everybody is able to do that. I made myself do it. But there are courses now in the libraries, and we did a survey a couple of years ago, a review of older people's capacity to access financial services online and to independently conduct their own financial affairs. And we found an awful lot of people had no idea how to do it at all. The only hope we have now is that if people are retiring, they're the younger, older people, if you know what I mean, in their mid to late 60s, and they will have been brought into, you know, they're in that world, so they know what to do. It's the people who are in their 80s now and late 70s that had no access to all that sort of stuff.
And services are taken away. I mean, the banks are closing down and everything's going into post offices, and then we hear lots of post offices are closing down.
Yeah, well, I go to the post office, my husband thinks I'm insane, every week to collect my pension, because I like the feel of money, you see. And
so he doesn't get a sniff near us, is that it?
Well, sometimes I give him a few bob, but not very often. But anyway, I like, and I go into the post office, and the guy in there is gas. He knows everybody in the place. And I just say to him, well, Mick, what's happening this week? And I get the whole gen of what's going on in the town, which is great. So I go in and I chat away to him, and then we talk about rugby, we talk about if there's anybody sick. He knows more than I do. So, you know what I mean? It's actually, for some people, now I'd be talking to everybody all day, every day, but some people do not have that
access. That's
and it's a
people.
Great thing to go in and chat to somebody. It's, you know, connecting. And there is an awful lot of loneliness out there, Declan, as well.
Indeed. No. Tina, technology.
Oh, God. Had I not got a divorce, I wouldn't have a clue about computers. But I had to get a job in Image magazine and with the managing director. And she said, oh, a PA. And I said, yes, yes. And what would I have to do? And she said, well, do up letters. And I said, oh, I don't type. And she said, but you can use a computer, can't you? I said, do you know, I've never even turned one on. She said, I think you're looking for somebody else. No, 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 no. So anyway, I came in. She said, I'll teach you. And the first morning she said, get a notepad. And she sat me down. She said, see that button at the back? Press that. That turns it on. And she taught me how to use the computer. That's a weird way to get a job. But I mean, it was fantastic because, as I say, had it not been for Jane McDonnell, I wouldn't have had a clue about computers or anything to do with it. It's not something I would have headed towards, you know. But I tell you something else. I was lousy at spelling until I went on a computer with spell check was my saving grace. I was an idiot and a lunatic, and it just kept telling me how to spell things.
Yes,
amazing.
Try Declan, you know, that's one.
But also, you know, instead of the old carbon copy, now most of you out there won't know what I'm talking about, you had the piece of carbon paper and you typed, and if you made a mistake, you had to Tippex it out. That was a white thing you put over the mistake. Mm-hmm. So if there was no hacking, you couldn't hack a typed letter. And, all right, there was only the original and the copy, but there wasn't all this horror show with, you know, hacking and changing around things. So in one way, I suppose it was better. We won't say who.
And how are you now?
How am I now?
Fabulous. With technology.
Fabulous. No, I can't master... what's that? That graph thing. I can't even remember what it's called, but it's a horror show. For doing up lists.
Spreadsheets,
you see? I erased it from my mind. It was so horrible. I cannot cope with spreadsheets. And I decided, no, it's not for me. I'd give up the job.
Don't bother.
No.
Let's return to Ken Doyle from Bagatelle, and a musical connection prompted, by the way, from... musical connection from Tina? No, Tippex, I think, open to correction, I think was invented by Mike Nesmith of the Monkey's Mother.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's right. You're quite right.
Am I right?
You are, Declan.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, that was a good earner.
Ooh. I still have
many
a
mistakes
tippets.
Were corrected by that one.
In my kitchen.
Now, you live in a world with music, evolving music and bands and things like that, and considered to be sort of in the modern era. I mean, do you have trouble with technology, Ken?
I strive to learn as much as I can about technology. But thankfully, I have a young techie in the house. Well, I say young, he should be heading for 30 now at this stage, but that's young. And they kind of hang out downstairs. So I use the intercom, which is bang, bang, bang on the floor. And that means I need help with technology. And he's great. But I'm just thinking back to when I was a kid in the 60s and Star Trek was on. And you'd see them on the Starship Enterprise and they'd be talking and like the screen here. They'd be talking back to base in probably Earth, and they'd be a gazillion miles up in space. And we were thinking, imagine that, you know, like, I mean, it's just that's it's science fiction. That is so everyday now, we don't even think about it. Mm. And people born into it don't even think that they haven't have that historic legacy, if you know what I mean, to see it. But I've noticed the advancement of technology. I mean, this phone here, I call that the slave in my pocket, because whenever I want to find out if my rusty old brain is slow and stuff like that, I just use the Siri and I say, who wrote this song? What are the chords of this song? What are the lyrics of this song? Are different things. Like, I mean, you can listen to talking books and stuff. I think it's just
welcome all those. I mean, it's amazing to think that if somebody goes on holidays to Australia, Patagonia, anywhere mad in the world, as long as they've got a bit of Wi-Fi on their phone, they can actually talk to you in crystal clear Wi-Fi sound
and
to
work
have from a conversation.
Yeah. You don't have to be sitting behind a desk. No. You can work for anywhere. But an interesting one was when the iPhones came out, and my new boss in Image got everybody iPhones, but he didn't get me one. And I said, where's mine? And he said, you're too old. No, I was in my 50s. You'll never get the hang of it. And I thought, will I not now? So I insisted on getting one.
This was a guy, was it?
Of course.
Yeah,
of
that's
course.
What I mean.
Yes. But I just thought it was interesting because you say, you know, is there any barriers, you know, in technology? Well, age is a barrier because, you know, some people think if you're of a certain age, you're too old to learn. But, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
But isn't there reluctance? Isn't there reluctance of some older people say, I'm not going to bother with that, actually, and I'm not going to learn, and why should I learn? I've always done it this way, so...
Yes, you know. But that was my mantra. Old age and treachery will overcome youth and skill. That's what I've lived by.
Okay.
So forget the youth and skill. Mm-hmm. Old age and treachery will catch you by as you get older.
And you embrace everything, May, do you? Sort of.
Well,
you try,
do. You know, as somebody said to me recently, you have to get with the program. Yeah. And that's exactly what we all have to do.
But you still like your cash, right?
Oh, yeah, I love cash.
All right. Now, there is this trend. I mean, the first time I'd ever seen it was, my daughter lives in London, over in London, went to a coffee shop, and as I was entering, there was this sign, quite prominent, in King's Cross, in the window, and it said, card only.
Yes, in a lot of places.
And now it seems to be card only is almost everywhere, except Paddy Moran's pub in Castlebar, which is cash only.
Oh, really?
So if you ever go there.
Really?
But anyway...
tender, Declan, and has been proved, and they cannot put a sign up that says card only, because some people definitely don't have cards. I mean, I have a million of the blooming things, and half the time I don't know what they're for, but I'm very good at spending money anyway. I feel I'm not spending money when I use a card. But, you know, it has been proved that it's legal tender, and until that is proved differently, they cannot be putting up those signs. It's against the law, actually.
What do you think, Ken, about cash?
I'm from the same world as you guys. I think cash is king.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Totally.
The other thing about it is, someone sent me a WhatsApp thing there a while ago about the 50 euro note. I don't know if you got that.
No,
when you spend the 50 euro note.
Oh, yes.
50 euro goes to someone else or something. When you tap the card,
bits are taken off.
The banks get it, everybody else gets it. But if you spend the 50, it made perfect. So simple, it made perfect sense.
It doesn't decrease
and
in value.
And I think that there is a move on to
charges.
Try and get rid of cash, which I think is disgraceful and it should be fought at every turn.
Really. Totally. Yeah, I would never give up my cash.
But what about that dilemma?
Knowing what I'm doing. I mean, if everything is done on a card, they can just watch every transaction you do.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about Big Brother is watching you. No, I need cash. Also, I feel really sorry for kids or people working in restaurants and things, because people just pay with a card and walk out. You know, tips, but they don't. Oh, no cash. And the people begging on the street. No cash, only card.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
The buskers in Dublin have a tap machine now.
Oh, stop it.
I think this is insane.
Oh, God.
I busked as a young guy in Dublin. You know, in fact, Dana gave me a 10 bob note one time, bless her.
she
did.
Oh, fantastic.
But I'm just saying, like, the thought of actually being busking in the street and having your own cash, I just think it's crazy.
Oh, that's crazy now.
But
I know, that's...
There's people, you know, you could get your pension in... You know, digital form, you know, with a card, may. But I'm talking about people who get paid, or the way they get money somehow is through a bank transaction. People send it to them or whatever. You've got to go over to the ATM machine. You use a card and technology to take money out in order to pay cash in the cafe or the shop.
Exactly.
Well, can't you short circuit that by just using the card? you know, that you're using to get money out of the ATM with.
You're not talking about the black economy, are you? People getting, no, cash only, so they don't have to pay tax. Yeah. Is that what you're getting at?
No, I'm just talking about you're going into these cafes and a card option is available. But in the meantime, because you want to use cash, you're going to the ATM machine with the same card in order to get cash out of it, in order to spend it in the cafe.
But I find, looking at most of my friends, they just whip out the phone. It seems to be all Revolut now.
Oh, yes.
And I'll transfer, you pay for that and I'll Revolut you the money. I mean, it's all done on the phone now. They don't even carry cards with them anymore.
I don't have Revolut.
The line has been used in many a song, but the jingle in your pocket, you know, jingle now.
Yeah, well, Revolut is a debit card, so you can't even get into debt with it. You have to have the money in the first place.
I haven't got Revolut, but I've heard about it.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I think for buying online, I think the idea of that pay-as-you-go credit card is a good idea, because it can only take out, if it is a scam, they can only take whatever money you have in the card.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, we're having a chat about technology and older people. May Quaid from the Older Persons Council and Bolton Glass resident, Tina Kumarianis, Agony Aunt, and Rathdrum resident, and Ken Doyle from Bagatelle. More in just a second.
WhatsApp or text.
The Morning Show.
The Morning Show.
With Declan Meehan. East Coast
FM. Ken, May and Tina with us. We're talking about technology and older people, and we turn to the issue of scams. And often older adults are the target of scams and scammers. Scammers are savvy, convincing. They, you know, drag you in with all sort of unlikely but likely stories. Some of the common scams, government impersonator scams, such as someone posing as a Medicare representative, asking for account information. Fake prize sweepstakes and lottery scams, which you are asked to pay money or provide account information to claim your winnings. Computer tech support scams. Goodness me, do you remember all those?
Yes.
In which a scammer tells you that your computer has a problem and wants you to pay for support. Of course, you have to give them information so they can fix it. And then they lock you out, and then they demand money to get back in. The grandparent scam, in which a caller pretends to be a grandchild or other relative in distress. Of course, there's the going across the toll bridge and, you know, your payment hasn't gone through.
Oh, yeah.
Pick up something from the post office or Amazon or whatever it is. All these scams. You know, May, do you come across these?
Oh, I have. Lots of times, as I was saying, I got a text from a friend of mine in Germany with all his details, and he wanted me to make a payment for him that he was short of money or something. I can't remember what was on it, to a place in Spain. And I thought to myself, that's very odd. He'd never say that to me. He's actually a lawyer and he's quite wealthy. So, I mean, he wouldn't be looking for my few bob from the post office. So anyway, I actually rang him, and he had never sent this at all. And I mean, they knew his name. They knew my name. They knew my mobile. They knew his mobile. That's very frightening. And a friend of mine lost $3,500 recently in a scam. Her daughter is a solicitor, and she was. They knew the name of the daughter, where her business was, everything. And they rang her, and she transferred it till she suddenly realised.
Oh,
but it was too late. She had lost $3,500.
The money had gone.
I mean, that's scary.
Yeah, Tina?
I get problems in from girls saying they've been scammed, you know, I love you, from these randomers that they've never met. And they actually hand over my, I want to come and see you, I love you so much, but I need the fur, can you send me the fur? And they're so bloody desperate, they send the money. And on my page, but over the years, people have lost hundreds of thousands. Women have got mortgages out on their houses to give to people they've never even met. I mean, it's so sad. It's nuts. But I mean, the old one back in the day, as you say, the computer people ringing up from, it seemed to me that because I've lived over the Filipino accents, saying, oh, your computer, madam, your computer's broken, blah, blah, blah. And I'd put, are you the owner of the computer? And I'd say, yes, yes. What's the matter with it? And I'd keep them on for about half an hour, and then I would rip them out of it with the filthiest language and hang up on them. But I'd wasted half an hour of their time, which to me meant they weren't annoying
somebody else. I mean, some people just
else.
Take the phone off, though, and leave it there.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Susie and I used to get coffee and sit and listen to them ramble on about how, which button, just press the button with the, and they get more and more angry with this stupid old woman.
Well, Declan, I did tell you during COVID, well, we've probably all forgotten all this, I told people to buy a referee's whistle and blow it down the phone.
That's right. That's right. I like that.
Which was a good idea. I have a referee's whistle in my bag. I keep carrying that and a tin of lacquer in case anyone molests me. God, I'd be so lucky at my age.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Ken, what about, you know,
well, I despite what everybody says, I'm going to keep scamming until I'm gone. No, I've had so many scams. I mean, the amount of beautiful women and good-looking guys that are trying to say, Ken, I want to talk to you, you know. I'm actually quite flattered being an
aged
rocker.
That's
definitely a scam, still want to.
I wouldn't worry about that. It's definitely a scam.
I have had so many. I was different. I've had the amount of parcels I'm supposed to have paid the duty on and the toll bridge that I haven't paid and all this kind of thing. But I did get a tip on driving along ahead one day on some radio station that if you get a funny number coming in, call it on your landline, and if you hear beep, 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 it's knocked off. That means they don't want your landline number. They want your smart line. No, they want your internet
stuff. Because they can get some information from your...
Once they get that, they have all your seed, breed and generation pretty much that you have in your phone. You know,
but so I'll tell you another thing, and it happened to me yesterday. There are so many, I get so many of those calls, scam calls. And yesterday, a girl rang me. It was a number I didn't recognise. And this foreign voice said, hello, is that Katina Kumarianos? And most people just call me Tina. I said, yes. And I was quite... not rude, but brisk with her. And it turned out the poor girl was ringing about installing my fibre broadband. Oh. She wasn't a scam at all. But the minute you hear, you see an odd number and maybe a foreign voice, you automatically, you know, you're on your guard because you think, oh God, here we go again.
Oh, yeah.
I nearly actually cut her off before I ever answered it because I didn't recognise the number.
I had a few years ago, I had a call from a guy, said a friend of yours put me on to you. You're looking for a vintage Harley Davidson. I said, well, I'm not looking for one, but what have you got? And he explained to me this beautiful 1940s flathead and that, and it's in a warehouse in Feltham in London. And I said, well, you know, what are you looking for? He said, I'll tell you what, it's a quick deal. He said, give me $3,000 and you can, now this thing is worth a fortune. I said, $3,000? I said, can you give me the address of the warehouse? Because my niece is a customs officer over there and she works near Feltham. She can go round and have a look. Beep, beep, beep.
Yes.
But it goes to show you, like, someone might say, oh, yeah, you know, what do? Do I send that? Oh, yeah, he did mention, what do you call that? Not Pony Express. What do you call that mail thing?
Oh, yes, I get a lot of those. Yeah. If you put anything for sale on Marketplace, I got so many. I put a chest thing up on Marketplace, and all these people, please send the money to this, not FedEx, one of the other ones,
Yeah, one of them.
Send it, and the minute you say no, come and get it, or send me a check, and or send me cash, and I'll meet you somewhere. No, they disappear into the ether. Yeah.
And of course, that's these people are piggybacking on a reputable, you know, operation,
exactly.
You know, which are legitimate. It's just these people abuse it all. Seamus says, I don't know how many times I've heard people saying I didn't realise how much I spent while tapping the card or phone. If you use cash, you know how much that you're actually spending.
Quite right, Seamus.
Yeah. Yep.
Anne says, great courses in Bray Adult Education Centre for older people. Been doing it for 2 years. It's I'm really learning a lot, and this is to do with technology.
I know the Broca Centre did it.
They still? Yeah.
I mean, so handy.
And the libraries, Tina, as well.
Oh, do they?
They're doing them as well. Yeah.
Paul in Arklow says, I am on May's side on the bank. I hate those machines. I always go to the teller. So there you go.
Well, I do too. And just say help. It's great.
The other thing I notice as well in the rock and roll world is how technology has advanced with our sound engineer. Our sound engineer, if we were doing a gig, he could be up in the balcony with a pad.
Yes.
And he's mixing the sound. He's like, you know, where's Wally? You remember that thing where Wally popped up?
Yeah.
And next thing, he's over here. He's sitting down in the front of the of the gig, and he's mixing the sound from there. And it's just, that's a huge...
Instead of the huge big...
He had console. Even the huge thing has shrunk down.
Oh,
like,
yes.
The modern mixing consoles are really small. But that's only one... That's just another area. Another thing, my young kid, Oliver, he's the techie guy in the house, as I was saying earlier on. He has a new PlayStation that he's after buying. The other one, I think, is about 7 or 8 years old. But, I mean, I have to say, the difference in graphics, the difference in speed, it's just light years away. And
so there's positive things with changing technology, but there's also the scammers that we mentioned. Meg Quaid is with us from the Older Persons Council. She lives in Baltinglass. Tina Kumarianis, Agony Aunt and Rathdrum resident. And Ken Doyle from Bray, and he's a member of Bagatelle. We're back with more in just a moment. And also we'll be having a chat with a techie expert, Damien Mully, a little bit later. Right, we're having a chat today about technology and older people with Ken Doyle from Bagatelle, Tina Kumarianis, Agony Aunt and Rathdrum resident, and May Quaid from the Older Persons Council, and she's a person that lives in Baltinglass. How is Baltinglass? Lots of money going into Baltinglass, May.
Well, now, Declan, don't start me on that. 3.5 million they gave us in 2019, and they started doing the work for it on the 12th of February.
This year.
Wow. Now the town is in chaos because it's a one-way system, and of course people are flying all over the place. And then I happened to get some older people's exercise equipment. And where have they put it? I wanted it down at the river so that everybody could enjoy it and you could see it from the main road, etc., etc., etc. And then they said, no, we're going to put it in the park. So they were doing up the park. They haven't put it in the park. They put it on the road out towards Kilteagan. And when I told the Act of Retirement that the other week, they said, well, we're not going out in our leotards there to have people honking horns at us as they're going by. So they were going to get up a petition to have it moved. So, you know, Baltinglass, it desperately needs upgrading. It's really bad. Mm. We've no pedestrian crossings. I think they've one at the school, and that's about it. But we've none. And to cross the main street, which is very wide, if anyone knows, you have to take a run at it in case you might get knocked down, like, and I'm not able to run anymore, so I'm hobbling across the road.
But it's
and
a lovely
put
little
my
town.
Hand up. Yeah, but they just, I don't know, we need another bridge. The bridge is actually...
And how far out are they talking about the exercise
Pardon
place?
Me?
How what? Far out are they talking about the exercise place? The Kilteagan Road, that's where the hospital is.
Well, it's
hospital.
Not as far as that now, but it's far enough if you didn't live near it and you'd have to walk to it.
And where do you park? On the side of the road?
That's exactly what it is. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, I don't know. It's the engineer fellow. I'm not going to say any more about him.
You know the old saying, a camel is a horse designed by a committee. You know.
I love it. That's brilliant.
There you go. Oh, we'll have another home period. We'll put another one there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But taking what May says, I mean, with older people, do you think the needs of older people, as well as the needs of people with disabilities, are considered at all when it comes to actually designing things?
But Declan, it should be the right of older people, the right of disabled people. I mean, why do you have to go running around trying to get up petitions, get up things like that, do all that sort of thing? This should be our right. We have paid all our lives into government,
taxes,
whatever.
Yeah.
And, okay, you get your pension automatically and you get various other things, like a medical card. Actually, you've jumped through about 100 hoops.
Are but they you, doing away with the medical card?
God, I hope not.
I heard it in the
I'll have to stay at home. I won't be able to go anywhere.
Not for people who already
have them.
For coming up the line, I heard through the grapevine that they were talking about getting rid of it. Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, that's fine, Tina.
They tried to do something on the Grey Generation before they got some slap in the face.
That was about the free travel.
I mean, I've forgotten now, even though we played Baltinglass some years ago.
Yes.
I forgot, but your idea of down by the river, what a beautiful place to do your exercise with the water going by it. I mean, that to me would make perfect sense. And there's the camel and the horse again.
I know. But
in Rathdrum, we have it in Parnell Park overlooking, you know,
I've seen it there, Tina. It's lovely. Yeah. But anyway, that's what's going on. And now they need extra money because they have to put in a walkway beside the bridge because... you can't walk along there. The articulated trucks going through the town. A friend of mine was walking along a few weeks ago and her handbag was whipped off her shoulders by an articulated truck. Oh, he was that close. So, I mean, it's if somebody's walking towards you with a pram or a pushchair, they don't call them prams anymore, pushchairs, I have to stand off the path, which I would do because, I mean, I've lived my life if the truck wants to give me a wallop. But, I mean, you don't want people with a baby getting accosted like that. It's absolutely awful. But we're the forgotten part of Wicklow. We really are.
Yeah. Okay. And well, that's it for another day. General terms, I mean, the positives of technology, positive of technology. You can have, what you said, all that information available on your phone and all the music and chords and lyrics and maps and all that.
Everything. Books, everything. I mean, it's all in there. You know that ad the run at the moment, how do you get so many actors in a box, you know, whatever the box is. But I find it just saves me an awful lot of time if I want to find stuff out, if I want to actually pay for something, I just get it delivered to the door and stuff like that, instead of me running around. But I've seen a couple of very interesting programs recently about the AI and all that kind of stuff, and I've no idea where that's going, but one of them, Oliver again, my kid, came up and showed me and he said, what do you think of that? And he showed me this girl and he said to me, that's not a girl, that's AI. And I tell you what, I was shocked. Because this girl looked better than a human being, that like we us here facing each other. This person, or this creation was it was larger than life. I mean, and you know, if they have it now in the early stages, what's it going to be in 10 years? Like his PlayStation in 6 or 7 years, the difference is just...
Yeah, well, the first one I ever heard was Stephen Fry, allegedly on BBC Radio 4, giving it a talk, and they said, you know, because I tuned in sort of late on it, and they said, do you enjoy that Stephen Fry thing? It isn't Stephen Fry. It was somebody had taken his voice and turned it into a lecture of some sort.
I heard someone sent me a clip. Actually, it was our manager sent me a clip of Donald Trump. And he's saying, the Dublin City Ramblers, where are the Dublin City Ramblers? Stand up there, Dublin, you know. Donald Trump wouldn't know where the Dublin City Ramblers from, Adam, you know. I mean, to get the lads. I know the lads really well. But I'm just saying, that's what they're just using... every available.
Yes.
But if they're able to do that, they can manipulate us to believe so much, because if it's that clear and as you say, using celebrities and radio personalities, you could even be Declan me in supporting Bitcoin.
Somebody told me that I had done a program somewhere on some radio station. It wasn't me anyway, but I hope I didn't.
They've done you as well, haven't they?
Indeed, but
that's doing away with your living. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Earning money and things. You know what I mean? That's dreadful, Declan.
Well,
I think I'm glad I'm the age I am now at this stage.
But positive things.
I find positive. Yes. Not computers, but Alexa. I mean, I have an Alexa in every room in the house, except my daughter won't let one near her. She said it, and it does listen. It listens because it suddenly the light comes on. Uh-huh. And I also have one of those cameras. And sometimes if I'm sitting watching telly and it's dark, suddenly the light comes on and it's looking round, and I think, all right, who's watching me? But I, for Alexa, anything, you know, measurements, you know, the one the other day was, how much does the Irish Prime Minister earn, how much does the British, and how much does the American President? Our one earns more than the English one. I think the American earns the least of all.
Yeah, but both of those have houses, okay? It's the White House and number 10 Downing Street and Chequers. So they have accommodation.
Yes, I know, but when you
know,
think the whole
Simon
the
has
whole
to
population,
pay his mortgage down in
I love Simon. I love Simon. So I think he's wonderful. I've met him a couple of times and he is dead on. But, I know that. But, I mean, the whole population of Ireland's like the population of London, isn't it? When you think
indeed.
About it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if we get to the stage where, I don't know, 500,000 people control 3 billion people through AI... That would be, it won't affect necessarily the likes of me because, you know what I mean, because of an age thing. But I'm just saying in the future, we've no idea where this thing is going. There's no regulation on it. James Cameron, who came up with Terminator and all that kind of stuff, he said, I warned you 25 years ago or something like that, you know. I mean, this is what's
going
to happen.
But even now, I mean, with what's going on in the world, I think there are a very, 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 very small amount of people running the whole world.
That's the type of thing.
It is, really. You know, none of us have a say. We're all out marching on the street. Nobody's listening. That's frightening.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's a couple of people have the say and what they say goes. Yeah. And that is so wrong.
I also find the world of politics and all that kind of thing, it's not like the old guys where they were more kind of gentlemanly and that and ladylike, where now it's kind of real New
free
York taxi
all.
Driver
free
in your
all.
Face type of thing. Hey, what do you want? You know.
Yeah.
But Tina.
Yes.
The kings of England and the queens, well, hardly any of the queens, but the kings of England used to run things. I mean, Mussolini used to run things. Hitler used to run. They were individuals used to run things. But I go back to the royal family before Cromwell, you know, they, whatever they said, was
the law.
The law.
That's the way
and
it was.
It was nuts. Yeah. And they killed a lot of people.
So we allegedly have democracy, is what you're saying.
I think they are a great tourist attraction. But there it begins and ends. I don't think anybody should have, you know, royal families. They're a bit like Disneyland for old people, you know.
Yes.
It's not the real world. Who goes around with a crown on their head, for God's sake? I'm not against them at all. I think, you know, they
well,
have
you got rid of yours in Greece anyway. They didn't have a chance.
My mother always used to say the British royal family and our family had a lot in the Queen and her had a lot in common. They both married Greek seamen and they both had dysfunctional families.
Right.
I also feel, in some part of me feels actually sorry for them because they're like, I've grown up pretty much with Prince Charles, King Charles now, over the years. But I've always felt he's like a bird in a gilded cage. Oh, he has the most beautiful trappings. He has the gold mirror to look in and all that kind of thing. But really, he's on call all the time.
He has no
peace.
Life.
I can walk down with my dog and no one, in fact, it would be avoided me saying, oh, here's this mad Kendall, get out of his way, you know. Where anytime he does anything, he's spotlights on. You
and
know.
Not even to be able to marry the person he really was in love with.
Yeah.
I mean, I know about Diana, I thought she was fantastic, but to be told, no, you can't, you've got to marry this bird who you have nothing in common with. She's, you know, so much
she's
younger
with her
than
husband.
You.
She's only a child.
Yeah, a child. Yeah. I mean, it was cruel to her and it was very cruel to him as well. But he ended up, I mean, why didn't they just let him marry Camilla in the first place? And then there would have been none of the scandals.
All right, we're going to take another break. Do you want to add something to that, May, or just leave it? Leave sleeping dogs on that one.
Do you know something? I just feel sorry for them in a way because they're under scrutiny from everybody and the abuse that was thrown at that Kate.
Oh, no,
was absolutely appalling. Yeah. You know, they've no private lives.
No.
I'd hate it.
They don't have
I'd love the money, but I'd hate my life to be under scrutiny.
But
like
it's
that.
Not even theirs. You see, they've got to pass it on to the
I
next
know.
Generation.
Exactly.
It's not like they can sell the palaces and
I'm
go off and live in the Bahamas.
I was going to say, they can't even go out for a pizza, and then I thought, oh gosh, don't mention the war. Right, okay, let's go for it.
Don't mention that.
Ken, May and Tina back in just a second. Yeah, it's morning show at East Coast FM. We're looking at technology and older people and our guests this morning. We have May Quaid here, Tina Koumarianis and Ken Doyle. And hopefully we're joined on the line now by Damien Mully. Is Damien in there? Yes. Damien, good morning.
Morning, Declan.
Good morning from Mully Communications. And Damien's going to be talking to us about scams and how to, I suppose, recognize them and how to deal with them if you happen to befall them, and how to, apart from May has a big referee whistle when she discovers somebody is scamming her, she blows it at the top of its volume to maybe, you know, upset their hearing for a while. But not to fall victim to scams in the first place. I mean, what's the best advice there, Damien?
It's to have, I guess, a healthy level of cynicism when someone is contacting you now. And the trouble is, we're being contacted through all digital means now, through email or phone call. And so when people contact you, they'll be talking about maybe a service that you have, like Netflix or Amazon, Revolut, or even AIB or Unpost. And it's to ask them what they're looking for from you. And it's always, at the end of the day, it's some kind of payment. So when someone contacts you for a payment, the alarm bells should start to ring then. But the other thing then is to ask for their name and say that you'll ring them back on their official number. So if it's somebody saying that they're contacting you from Virgin Media and the number looks a bit weird, like, you can just say, look, I'm going to phone you back on the main number, and you can look that up on the Virgin Media website and you could ring that way. Or if you're getting an email and someone sends you a link, there's a website in Ireland called checkmylink.ie, and you can paste that link on your mobile or on your laptop. You can paste it into that website and it'll tell you if that website is legit or not.
What's that called again?
Checkmylink.ie.
Okay, good to know.
And that does a scan. It'll say, look, this... even if it's a brand new website that's set up, so it's not in a database of scam websites, what it does is it looks at it, goes, the language on this, what they're asking for, who it links to, we wouldn't trust it. So it kind of advises you to stay away from that. So it's a very handy resource.
And Damien, if you are scammed and the money is gone in, the wink of an eye or something, is there any way you can get your money back or reverse this?
Depends on who you're using. So, like, cards, you can get onto your credit card company and say that you've been scammed, and they'll be able to refund or put a hold on the card, and you can do a charge back, I believe. If it's bank account details, again, just contact your bank, and then it's just contacting the local Garda station as well to let them know about what's happened. If it's anything like credit card details being handed over, the best thing to do is, again, contact your bank, get the card suspended, and get a new card issued as well so that it can't be used again.
They're reluctant to give you any money back if you have given them your details. So they sort of say, well, look, you know, you were warned, you shouldn't have given details, you've given them, so it's your loss.
To a degree, but if you're giving details for it, what is one transaction, and then all of a sudden loads of other transactions happen, it's the same way as your card is being skimmed from a machine. So they can put a hold on your card, and any other transactions, once you've let them know, they shouldn't be doing any charges after that.
What about going through PayPal? Therefore, there has to be that step of before the money actually goes to the business that you're transacting with.
Yeah, like if you have two-factor authentication with PayPal, if you have two-factor authentication with your credit cards as well, you'll get a notification on your phone to say, do you want this to go ahead? The issue with PayPal is, if you want to use PayPal instead of a credit card, that is a good idea. But you need to be careful that you don't have your cards actually attached to your PayPal account. Because what would happen then is the money gets taken from PayPal, and then PayPal will take the money from your account as well. So it can slow things down, but it mightn't stop it. So what you're better off doing is to, if you have an account, say PayPal, and you just top it up the same way you top up phone credit, top up your PayPal that way. And if you're doing a transaction, then there's money in the account, and it can go out of that then without impacting your bank account or your credit card.
But the bottom line I'm getting from you is, be cynical. You know,
you have to be.
Be skeptical.
I think that the issue is, when it happens on a phone or when it happens, say, on our laptop, we're at home and we're in a comfortable space and we let our guard down as a result. But what we need to realise is there's, you know, barbarians at the gate in terms of they want to get access to your bank details. They want to get money out of you some way. So if you get a phone call or if you get an email and it looks, and it can look very genuine that it's from Unpost about, and since we're all buying online, or so many other of us buying online, packages are always coming. And so if you get an email or text saying there's something with the package, there's a customs issue, and we all know with Brexit there is more customs issues as well. We can kind of go, oh, that's probably the package that's arriving that I did order. So just be careful of that and check the links that you get in those texts or check the links that you get in an email. Same way as if a stranger came to the door and said, like, they're from a utility company, you'd ask for ID, or you'd be able to suss them out to see if they look genuine or not, just the way they compose themselves. We can't necessarily do that online, so we have to be more cynical.
Damien Mully. Thanks, Damien. Good morning to
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Declan. Good
Thank
morning.
Thank you. Damien Mully from Mully Communications. One last thing to ask my studio guest today is this forthcoming elections and believing the junk online. I mean, we got plagued by people saying, why aren't you reporting on this incident in Selbridge? The one in the end that never happened. But anyway, people were very abusive about you're not taking the news seriously, etc., etc. It didn't happen. It was all misinformation. So,
I've never heard of that.
Neither did I.
Well, there you go.
We missed out on that one.
I don't do social media.
You get hundreds of these a week. But anyway, you know, how do you guard yourself against this misinformation and disinformation?
Well, you can't really, can you? You've got to just use your head and think. You see, even the news on television, I look at it now, whereas back in the day you'd take it as, you know, that's it.
Gospel.
That is gospel. Mm-hmm. But now you sort of, your head goes on one side and you think, and you wonder how much rubbish is being fed to you to, you know, damp down the masses. So I don't know, can you tell if a lot of the stuff is real or not? Unless, like, that boat going into the bridge and you actually see it and it's everywhere. But the rest of the stuff, I don't know whether you take with a pinch of salt.
Yes, but
not.
You're cynical again, like Damien said.
I would be cynical, yeah.
May? Yeah.
I'm very cynical about these things. I actually have a look at Google every day to see what's going on. And the amount of rubbish that's on that is unreal. So I just, and I say to my husband, did you see that? And he said to me, I wish you'd stop looking at that bloody thing. It's not right. But I'm curious, you see. I think we're all curious.
Yes.
This is the thing. But I don't do social media at all. I don't do Facebook even.
But I managed to put up one TikTok post and I was barred.
So you're off. Ken, I'm running out of time. Any 5 seconds, 10 seconds?
As the man said, which I am as well, skeptic. I meet some conspiracy theorists when I'm walking the dog and they're telling me all about this, that and the other, and I really, you know, I say honestly, if the sun is shining, it's a lovely day, enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you all for coming in, talking to us about older people and technology. Tina Kumarianis, May Quaid and Ken Doyle, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you,
very good and very informative. Just to finish up with Celine talking about this library event with Sadie and Arklow Library on Tuesday. I work with Sadie, she's an amazing person, so kind and caring, such a lovely person. She's amazing inside and out, and she's wonderful with all the children. We're also blessed to have her in our lives. And that's Sadie and her book about foster care, Arklow Library, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. From Tara and Katie and all connected with the programme and me, Declan, enjoy your Easter weekend.